Hello and welcome to the Behind Closed Doors podcast. My name is Alicia Abberley and I'm so grateful that you've joined us in this space. Behind Closed Doors is all about the types of conversations that we only usually have with our best friend, our partner, our counsellor, our coach. And sometimes it's the conversations that we don't actually have with anybody else at all. The women that are interviewed in this space are all women that are making a difference to the planet. They're women that are inspiring and empowering. The intention is that you too will feel inspired and empowered by these conversations. So grab a cup of your favorite drink, pop your feet up, and enjoy this episode of Behind Closed Doors. Today I have the beautiful Cassie Jeans joining me. Cassie is an absolute authority of living in the flow of your best self. She is a life coach for women entrepreneurs who are either in a place of, I really want to live my dreams, but I don't believe I deserve to, sound familiar, or are in a place of, I know I deserve this, now what? Self-worth and business mindset are totally her jam, as well as living a life that beats so fiercely with your heart and passion, you feel like you are part of the cosmos in the most electric way. Cassie has been featured in a number of publications, including the Huffington Post and Wholehearted Woman. And she is also on a mission to create women legacy ambassadors for this beautiful planet of ours. Hello and welcome, Cassie.
Thank you so much, Alicia. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so grateful that you have joined us in this space. And I know that our listeners are going to get so much from this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So please, before we start, share a little bit about you, who you are, what it is that you do, and we'll go from there.
Oh my goodness. It's always such a funny question to be asked, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been on two roles. So I've done the interviews, I've been interviewed. And every time I'm asked this question, I'm always like, what am I doing? It's because it always seems to be like such a variety and such a flow of things that are always happening. So I would say, you know, I'm a woman who absolutely stands in authority of who she is. But it's been a process of being able to get to that point in my life where I can be like, yeah, you know, I'm set on this. I feel good about this. This makes sense to me. I'm vibing with this. And for me to not have to like be like, you know what, I'm this or I'm that. I'm a mom. I'm a life coach. I'm a woman. And it feels so good to be able to just like claim that and just be able to own it in a way that is just, you know, at ease and that doesn't have a lot of extra around it. But I'm also a mom. I've got two beautiful children, Eli and Callie, and they are just absolutely incredible. I would definitely say that I have learned the most from being a motherhood than many, many other things in my life. And they have definitely sharpened and drained me all at the same time. I'm a wife to an incredible man who supports me in so many of my endeavors and has definitely put up with a lot of the hormonal shifts that I felt from when we first got married to through children. And there's such so much to unpack there in regards to just that hormonal impact that you're that can happen within a relationship. So, you know, I'm a wife. I'm also a life coach who actually has been privileged to be able to attract some of the most beautiful souls on the planet and coaching women and watching them unravel into something that is completely divine and that is completely inspired and that's completely them. And then watching as they have the courage to start putting themselves out there in a way that speaks to their soul, but then calls other women to come and collaborate and co-create and manifest and dream of all these things that for so long had been denied to them only because of some sort of belief that they didn't deserve it or they weren't worth it or that they couldn't handle it or that they couldn't encompass it. I mean, it's just so many layers. So I would say I'm pretty multifaceted in a lot of the things that I do.
It's amazing. And I just love hearing your passion when you speak. And I'm exactly the same when I talk about my clients and watching that transition from believing that they can't to believing that they can and then stepping into that space. Like, it's so powerful, isn't it? And when you witness that, when you are privileged to witness that and guide that, that's next level.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Yes.
And I'd love to tap in there on something that you said at the start. So a lot of the times I feel that us women, we have so many labels that we don't actually need to have. It's like, I have this thing with, this is just one of my quirks here is then when someone says, and no judgment here to anybody else, it's just information. But when I hear someone say, I'm a vegetarian or I'm a vegan, my head just goes, no, you're not a vegetarian. You choose to eat like a vegetarian or you're not
Absolutely.
A vegan. You eat that way. And I think our labels of you know, I see that as growing up, as kids, it's like, what do you want to be? It's like, oh, ditch that, you know? I love what you said, I am a woman. And I think when we can claim that without all of the labels, yes, you are a credible mom, I am too, you are a businesswoman, but first and foremost, you are a woman. So tapping into that space, oh, it gets me so excited.
Absolutely, 100%. So I can definitely feel you on that there. Yes.
So we have a couple of beautiful topics to dive deep into, and I like the way that these can interlink with each other. So we've got the stereotypical views on motherhood and also what it's like to be a fulfilled woman. So in combining the two, let's go there. Let's go to the place of what it's like to be a mom and to feel like you have to be a certain way and then also being fulfilled at the same time.
Yeah, it's such a huge question. So I'm so glad that you asked it. But for me, like, motherhood has not been necessarily one of the easiest things for me to transition into. And, you know, when I brought my first little one into the world, I would say that that felt really good. And I felt really, like, still okay. Felt somewhat grounded and really embodied, like, being a mom. Like, I really truly did. I was really like, you know what? This is it. This is great. I've fulfilled my duty as a woman. Like, seriously, like, these were thoughts. And I was like, well, this is great. So I'm going to do the cooking and I'm going to do the cleaning and I'm going to take care of, like, the house, and that's going to be really awesome. And I'm going to be, like, the best mom that I can possibly be. Like I was saying before, in regards to motherhood, just with the first one, it felt fine. Like, I really felt okay still. And I took that route of, you know, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, and motherhood's going to be it for me, right? I, at the time, was a hairdresser, which is really, really neat. And I was really working towards building up a really awesome business within it. But I just felt pulled in too many different directions. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to be a businesswoman or mom. Like, I was like, I don't want to do it. It's feeling too much. I'm feeling too drained. And I let that part of, you know, my life go. And it felt good. Like, still totally felt fine. And I just embodied motherhood for that first year with my little boy. And then my little girl came along, and I really wasn't expecting the hormonal shift that was going to happen within my body. I wasn't expecting to feel as drained as I felt. I wasn't expecting to feel as tired. And I didn't recognize that I had postpartum depression. I thought that the thoughts that were coming into my head were getting really, really serious, but I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't recognize that that's what was going on. And I probably experienced that for a good 2 years into my little girl's life. And for me, there is, you know, I don't carry the shame or the guilt that I initially first felt during those years, because many times I felt very inadequate as a mom. Many times I felt like I was doing everything wrong. And even though on, like, the outside, like, if you were to take a look at pictures of us, everything looked okay. Everything looked happy. Everything looked cheerful. But what was happening is that, like, week by week, month by month, year after year, there was pieces and parts of me that were just getting eaten away. There was pieces and parts of me that were just getting more suffocated. There was pieces and parts of me that were just, like, dismantling, is probably one of the best ways that I could put it, and chipped at. And I remember feeling like, you know, it's probably better if I just leave. Like, literally, I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm good at this. These thoughts in my head, they can't possibly be normal. There's parts of me that just want to neglect my kids. Seriously, there's parts of me that I felt so alone. I felt so isolated. I felt so lost. And really, truly did not recognize that there was actually a chemical imbalance happening within my body. And I figured it would probably be better if I just left everybody, because by me leaving, then at least the thoughts in my head would go away. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm sure for some readers, the viewers right now, they're kind of going like, whoa, right? Because this is something that we don't normally tend to talk about so openly. And it took me having to put an incredible nutritional system into my body and really facing the fact that I wasn't okay. And in fact, I remember at one point, just when I was just so sheerly exhausted, I know a lot of other women can relate to this. Even if you haven't had kids, I want you to know, like, if you've experienced depression, like, it's exhaustion, it's an isolating feeling. So I don't want to take you out of the conversation. I want you to still be here with us. And I just remember screaming, you know, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I believe there was two layers happening within my system, within my being, that were out of whack. And one layer being the fact that nutritionally I was void of everything. Like I just carried two babies. They took everything. I nursed each one of them up until, you know, well into their years, 2 years, I believe. And I was like, whoa, like there was nothing left. And two, I had completely lost connection to self. Completely lost who I was. And when those two things layered upon layered and came to complete, I guess, friction, I was very empty. So when it came to that sort of perceived idea of what motherhood I thought was gonna be, it turned out that I'm not the full-time mom that I originally thought was gonna be fulfilling, if that makes any sense.
It does. And I think there's such an expectation from us women that when we go into having a baby, like my son's just turned 15 and, you know, there's such an expectation of how it's going to be. And I don't believe that any woman will ever be able to share with another woman what it's like to actually have a baby and what it's like to experience that. And also on the flip side, Cassie, whilst you were experiencing the depression side and the lack of nutrients in the body, I also think, and so something that I'm really passionate about, is that we don't have to be everything for our children from a sense of them coming before us. And I think that's such a misconception. It's that, like, when my son was little, I did everything for him, everything. Like, he was forefront of my mind for everything. And I was not fulfilled internally. I was not fulfilled externally. Loved him deeply. It was tough, so, so tough. And I realize now that it was okay. And I wish I had have been taught this. I wish I had known this back then, that it's okay to put ourselves first. Whether we're a parent or, you know, whether we're a woman without children, first and foremost, it's okay for us to be put first. It's okay for us to choose us first. It doesn't mean we love our children any less. It doesn't mean that we value our family any less. It's just that we're able to, when we're full, we can give more, we can do more, be more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The whole concept of motherhood is self-sacrificial is just, it's archaic. It's not necessary. In fact, it does more damage than good. Your children are not going to feel less loved because you're loving yourself.
Yes. We teach them by example, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you think about the legacy that you want to leave behind for your kids, you know, when I start to think about that, I go, you know what, my happiness, one, isn't dependent upon whether or not, you know, my children see me as super mom. My happiness isn't dependent upon whether or not they succeed in everything that they do. You know, my happiness and my source of joy comes from this internal vibration that just resonates through my body. And the more that I tap into that, the more that that naturally flows out into their impressionable, young, beautiful minds. And if those seeds can be implanted at a really young age, I believe that, you know, whether my body physically stays here with them or not, because the thing is, we don't actually get to decide how much time we have with them. Mm-hmm. So the time that we have with them, you know, and this is something that was really hard for me to understand when I was feeling in a state of confusion and loss, was just how powerful gratitude was, and the way in which when I started adopting the practice of gratitude, how it shifted my relationship with my children to the point of me being resentful of them, to the point of me going, whoa, like this is incredible. Like if I'm not here, I want you guys to know so many things still. So if I can do this now with you and we can, like, you guys can just see the joy that can radiate from a woman who is completely in alignment with her soul's purpose, with her calling, with her mission, with her vision, you know, I know that that will be more of a lasting legacy than whether or not I had the house, like, clean every day. Like for me, now I'm not, like, and I know for someone cleaning is super fulfilling, so that's really, really awesome, but for me it wasn't. So what I'm really essentially saying is, find what fulfills you, let it bring you a lot of joy, and let your children watch you do that in the process.
Agreed. And, you know, there's for all of the mums out there that are listening, also whose children are older, like mine, you know, We don't have to carry the guilt. I carried so much guilt until I did the work around this, so much guilt for not being there 100% for my child, not being a mumsy mum that would sit down and do Lego and play Play-Doh. Like, I just was never that mum. And I had so much guilt. I remember I'd go to bed at night going, oh, you know, I'm terrible. I need to spend more time with my son. I'm not a good mother. And go, okay, I'll do better tomorrow. And I'd get up and I was so exhausted when my son was little. And, you know, I'd go start the motions again in the day. And then by the time the end of the day come, I did no better. You know, it was like, that balance of your own exhaustion and being a mom and whether you have support or not, that plays a big part.
Absolutely.
But understanding that we can start from right now. So this awareness, the awareness that you have for yourself as a centered, empowered woman, the awareness that I have in my space, everyone's awareness comes at a different time. So if your kids are 13 and you're just realizing this now, start now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Great. So what does a fulfilled woman look like, Cassie?
Oh gosh. It's totally dependent on her feeling. It's totally dependent on each woman's ability to see within themselves. And like you were saying before, of taking a look at everything that was at one point perceived as wrong, was at one point perceived as guilty, as what was at one point perceived as shameful, at one point was perceived as not good enough. Whatever she's gone through to get to the place of going, you know, like, I'm enough. In fact, I'm more than enough. I'm worth it. And to be able to say that with a resolution within the voice, within the body, within the action, you know, is like, that's it. Like, then you know, when you know that you are fulfilled in what you're doing, it radiates from every pore in your body, every cell in your body gets excited about what you're doing. You start attracting people into your life that you didn't have access to before. I mean, it's just, it's truly, truly, truly remarkable and incredible. So I would say that, you know, and when you meet a fulfilled woman, you know, you're just kind of like, what are you doing? Like, oh my goodness. Like, I would love to be doing what you're doing. And if you're finding yourself meeting people and going like, oh gosh, I wish I could be like that. Oh gosh. Wow. Geez, they have it all together, don't they? And oh my goodness, look at what they're doing. I'd never be able to do that. I just want like to call BS on that completely. Listen, it was a choice. But it came more, usually this choice comes from a place of brokenness. Yes. Usually this choice comes from a place of dissatisfaction. Usually this choice comes from a place of allowing yourself to open up to the sheer possibility and magnitude of what is always being presented to you. Your purpose is not hidden from you. It's not something that you have to find like along the way of a crazy journey. You don't have to cut out relationships in order to be able to find, I mean, like there's a lot of theories and concepts that get thrown around. Like, you have to travel in order to find your purpose. You have to leave your boyfriend in order to find your purpose. You have to, you know, like quit your job in order. No. Like, it's already there. I would say, take a pause and start to ask yourself some really simple questions in regards to, you know, if I could do anything for the rest of my life, what would that feel like as opposed to look like? Because quite often it's really hard for us to visualize what we want to be doing, but we can tap into an emotional state of being that will guide us to those answers with more clarity. So if I was to wake up tomorrow and have a certain feeling about me, what would that feeling be? Would I wake up and would I be dredging my day? Would I wake up and would I not want to be going to where I'm going? You know, or would I wake up and I would have an excitement to start the day? Would I be waking up with like a, just like that little extra like bounce in your step? Would I wake up and know like exactly what I wanted the day to unfold into? Like, would there be the excitement in my voice and in the way I interact with people, you know? And like, so tap into that emotional feeling and then allow those emotions, those high vibe, those really, really solid, those really like electric emotions, not the ones that bring you down. Tap into the ones that make you feel really, really good and start to take action on them. Meaning, if you get an impulse or a desire to take a class, take the class. Please, yes. For goodness sake, take the class. I don't care what it is. Yeah. Just take it. And then see where that continues to go.
Yeah, I love that, Cassie. And that's something that at the moment, I'm really, really acknowledging is those little niggles that come in. For 6 months, my body has said to me, go back to Bikram yoga, go back to Bikram yoga. And it's kind of like, oh, be quiet, or, oh, I'll get there when I'm ready. But it's like the soul is calling me to get back there. And yes. I tell you what, it's just centered me so much going back.
Yes.
Any little things, like, yeah, absolutely. Whatever comes up, those little, I think sometimes we think, they're just random thoughts, but what I believe, no, they're not random thoughts. Soul, right? It's the soul.
Yes.
This is where you need to go. And when we start listening to that and we start stepping into that space and acknowledging that, then things begin to shift, right? Different people show up, different emotions start showing up within us. We start to feel better about ourselves, and then we can step into that fulfilled woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me lately, the last nudge that I had was to do bike riding. Nice. I haven't done it since I was a kid, but I was I want to bike ride. So I've started bike riding, and I tell you, it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. My partner and I, a few weeks back, and oh my gosh, it was so amazing. So amazing. And fun and playful and bringing in energy. Yes. good stuff. Oh, nice. So I guess, for our listeners, I feel like you've covered this really well, Cassie, that for our listeners to tap into being a fulfilled woman, you know, it's beginning to listen. There's so much for being a fulfilled woman, but beginning to listen to those little niggles that tap in. You know, if you've always wanted to go and write a book, start writing. If you've always wanted to go fly planes, go have a plane lesson. They might sound silly or feel silly at the end of the day. That's your soul calling you. That's what your body wants you to be doing and what your being wants you to be doing.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Oh my God. I got goosebumps. It's amazing. Amazing. Perfect. So is there anything else that you would like to share in that space for, you know, the stereotypical mama and being fulfilled as a woman? Any biggies for you?
Give yourself permission to just bring some more ease into your life. I remember there was a time when I was just running. Oh my gosh, I was running. I thought that I had to do so much. Like I really did. I didn't allow myself to rest. I didn't allow myself to pause. I didn't question anything. You know, I just took everything at surface like level and accepted it. And that stopped feeling good for many, many years, but I never stopped long enough until I literally had to stop because my body was actually just like deforming into a shape that it wasn't supposed to. And then I had to have a huge pause in my life because I was running so hard in all sorts of different directions, desperately seeking to try to find something that made me feel good.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people, men and women, are doing this, and you know, it's got to stop this whole concept that you have to bend over backwards to be able to get anything done. This whole sacrificial process of the do-it-all woman is just, it goes against the way in which we were created to be. And we were created to be wholehearted. We were created to be a divine source of love and nurturing for not only the ones that are close to us, but also for anyone that happens to just be sheltered by our wings from time to time. And the only way that you can tap into that type of impact for not only your local community, but also the global impact that ends up happening from that is for you to start standing in the truth of who you are as a woman that her strength does not come from how much she does, but how much she surrenders to.
Yes. Oh, feel that in the body.
Feel that one. That one went right through. I felt that with you. So if you can surrender to the things in your life that are not bringing you the highest joy, if you can surrender them and allow them to be released from you, allow the control to just ebb away from your shoulders and from your back and from the pain that you feel in your sacral. Like, I mean, just let it all completely dissolve, so that you can start to replace it with words that speak light into the very source of your being, with books and with knowledge and with inspired work that starts to reignite the passion that has always been calling you, always been gently, gently, gently knocking at the heart and the soul of the incredible feminine being that you are. I mean, if you can just pause and breathe and start to just surrender and receive, you will radically transform every state of being that has been keeping you locked into a place you don't want to be in.
Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah, that was very beautiful, Cassie. So, so nice. And I feel that our listeners will get a lot from that as well. I think something that keeps coming up for me while I hear you speak is that a lot of women, when we're starting out on this journey, we don't know how to listen. And we don't know how to surrender, and we don't know how to listen. You know, it's such an interesting, I think it's such an interesting space. What you said before, how you used to do a lot, you know, I liken it to autopilot. We don't think, we're just so, just like robots. And then I was living in masculine energy my whole entire life until the last 12 months and learning to just, you know what, if I want to have a sleep during the day, have a sleep during the day. And if I want to go to a yoga class and do nothing else in my day, then so be that. And how empowering.
So great.
And you can feel the softening, right? You feel the softening, you feel the nurturing. And I think for that, if any of our listeners are there going, I mean, Cassie's covered a lot here in how you can, if you've heard that, if you've really tapped into her words, you will have got some of the how. If you're looking for a, you know, tell me how, I want to write down three things. I think the what Cassie said as well is start to listen. That's one. Start to act on that listening. And three, just start to develop your awareness a little bit more around the things that light you up and excite you. Cassie, do you want to add any more to that? Just for the how, you know, the starting process.
Absolutely. One thing that can be super cleansing spiritually and also mentally is to take a hiatus from any social interaction that is not person to person. In regards to, so we have become a culture that is always dependent upon social interaction in order for us to feel good, in order to feel acknowledged, in order for us to feel appreciated and valued. And if you find yourself always gravitating towards picking up your phone, and this is something that I've called myself on, and I've done like days where I've been like, you know what, I'm not even picking it up. Like it's done. I'm not doing it, because I can feel a tension. I can feel an anxiety almost build up. And when I start to feel that, I'm like, you know what, this is a time to release that and let that go. But this can be an incredible opportunity for you to take 2 days. It doesn't have to be super long. Take 2 days and shut it all down. All of it. I don't care how in demand you are. I really, truly, like seriously, the world is not going to fall apart. Shut it off. Yeah. Okay. Right. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Shut it off and see what comes to you. Go for walks. I mean, read. Don't even put the TV on, like nothing that distracts you from what it is that you've been trying to run away from. This is a big one. You're running. We're runners. Women are runners. Men are runners too, but I'm talking about women. We're runners. Okay. When we've got those like nudges, I call them nudges. You call them, what you call them? Niggles? Is that it?
Okay. Yeah. The little niggle.
When you've got those little nudges and they keep on like pushing you around and that kind of stuff, you're doing everything you can to avoid it, right? By being so busy and having to be on your phone all the time and all that kind of stuff and checking this and checking that. Shut it down and allow them to just pester the heck out of you. See what comes for you from that. I mean, that is a free, like super easy exercise. Grab a journal with you and start journaling the heck out of whatever is pouring out of you. Seriously, it's all there. It's all stored inside of you. It's not a mystery. It's right there waiting for you to just slow down enough to access it.
Absolutely. Definitely. Just so you can hear it. Because all that noise that's going on, all of that, I got to be here. I got to do this.
Yeah.
That's important. Nope. Agreed.
It's really not. Not until you know who you are and why you're standing here. Yeah.
True that. Oh, Cassie, this has been amazing. This has been so great talking to you. I've loved this a lot.
I knew this conversation was going to be fun. Like I was like, I'm going to talk to Alicia today. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I could feel it as well. Where are you? Where are you based?
I'm in Ontario, Canada. So it's our summer here, which is so funny. Like, so I've got friends in, are you in Australia, New Zealand? I can't remember.
I'm in Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia.
Awesome. So you guys, it's your winter, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I have to say it's super cute because you guys get to wear the cutest stuff for winter. You get to wear like these like furry little jackets and like these cute little UGG boots and stuff like that. And like our winters are intense. Yeah. So it's always so cute to like, because I've got friends in Australia and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so cold here today. I had to put a winter jacket on. I was like, that is not even a parka. I was like, no, but it's awesome.
You get like, for us, it's like the snow time. We don't get snow here on the Sunshine Coast.
No!
It's amazing. But you're like thermals and layer upon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get the wools out because it's going to like get you right to the bone. Yeah.
I know, it's funny seeing you in like a little dress and I've got a jacket on today. I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me in this space, Cassie. I've really enjoyed this and I know our listeners will have too. Yeah,
that's it. Alicia, thank you so much for having me. Truly.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, so welcome. So that's another episode for Behind Closed Doors. Thank you so much for joining us and I look forward to you tuning in next week. See you then.